All right. Hear me okay? Good? Yep. You guys in the way back? No, I'm just joking. I need my Bible too, because you never know when the Lord will direct you. Otherwise, whew. Man, worship and praise was awesome today. It's awesome. When you're open to receive and you let the Holy Spirit take control, it's just awesome. That's how we need to be every day. I'm going to do the opening scripture, 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, speak through me today, your message only, not me, but you. Give me the words to speak, Lord Jesus. Open the hearts to receive it, that we could be changed, to share the message you have, not only just for us, but for everyone that we come in contact with. Your will and your way today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled this sermon, Heart Disease. Are you in need of open heart surgery or a transplant? The church, Christianity, is sick today with heart disease. What do I mean? Heart disease, you don't feel it. It just slowly creeps in and sets you up for death. Steve, your mom's a heart nurse, so I wish she was here to just appease me and agree with me here. But Satan has crept into the church. He's already gotten the world, and he's slowly killing so-called Christians, making them feel complacent. I'm okay. I've done my good deeds. They don't have a heart after God. They think I can have a relationship without fully surrendering and giving it all to him. It's a number one killer. Just like we talked about identity theft last week, you're going to find a theme as we keep going through this, as God is directing, is who we are. Where is your heart today? I'm speaking to you individually. The heart is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. Do you have a heart for God? Is it about him, or is it about you, your wants, your desires? What did Jesus talk about? We go back to the Sermon on the Mount again. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's a completely different process. You don't even have to sleep with somebody. You just have to look upon them with lust, and you've committed adultery in the heart. Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That one spoke to me, because I'm a businessman, and I was driven just from success and treasures of this earth. And yes, I want to provide for my family, but the Lord has changed me first. He's got to be first. Jesus is clearly setting the stage here in Matthew, guys. Your heart, where is your heart? The issues of life, our actions, our works, our pursuits, it all proceeds from the heart. What we do in word, what we do in deed, what we choose to receive, it's a product of what we are, who we are on the inside. Going back in Matthew, this is Jesus, and this is I've got a lot of scripture, guys, because it's not my words. It's what God says. This is the final authority. Too much of the church wants to play church, but then when it comes to the truth, they don't want to take it all. They just want to take parts of it. Have your heart to receive it. In Matthew chapter 13, 11 through 23, he answered and said unto him, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Because I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and their ears, and should understand where? With their heart. They'll be converted, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which we see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. This isn't a get rich gospel here. We are talking about the heart today. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed into stony places. He's talking about the stony heart here. The same as he that heareth the word and with joy receive it, yet he had no root in himself. The root, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, but dureth for a while. So he hears the message, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, and by it he is offended. He that also received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. People are hearing it in their mind. And they might even wrote it down as notes, but it just tossed aside. Satan comes in and just takes your focus. Don't focus on him. Don't focus on the Lord. Don't focus on your mission and what you're supposed to be doing. Focus on these things, distractions of the world. But then Jesus says here, but he that receives seed into the good ground, the heart, we're talking about the heart, is he that heareth the word and you understand it. And what does it say? It bears fruit. It brings forth 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The heart. Are you searching for answers? Does your mind, or is it your selfish heart? Do you have control of things? You see the world, and it tells you what you want to hear. Even in church, you can find someone that tantalizes your ears. So many of the churches today, you can find PhDs, you can find everybody to tell you, hey, your sin's okay. It's okay, this piece, you know, this part's, you need to live for, but hey, like premarital sex, that's okay. You can find someone to okay that, justify you. Justify you in this life, not your future. If you really listen to what Jesus said in Matthew, you can receive what God is trying to tell you. The Holy Spirit is knocking on your door. He's trying to get access to you. He's trying to awaken you. He's trying to stir you. Stir you. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, you will find him. If you seek him with your whole heart and with your whole soul. So what do we have to do here? You have to give your heart to the Lord. You have to get. We sang these songs today, and this was the message. I knew God was talking about the heart, but I didn't know where this was going all week. I was just praying and just asking for his direction, because I didn't want to just send out a message just because it's a message. No, I wanted him. What did he want to speak to you? There's some people that need to be here today that hear this. There's people in your life right now that need to hear this. You need to hear this. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 26. My son, I'll make it I'm like a gender specific, my son and daughters, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Talking about giving your heart. Ezekiel chapter 36 and 26 and 27. A new heart I will give you, a new spirit I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. This comes in again, Ezekiel 11, 19 through 21. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances, and do them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their heads, saith the Lord their God. The New Living Translation says, I will repay them fully for their sins. Judgment day, folks. Judgment day. Where's your heart? Yes, God is love, but he is just. He is just. He's also a God of wrath. Did you see what he did? I mean, he created the world, and then you go a couple chapters later, what'd he do? He wiped out the entire world. He kept Noah. That's it, because their hearts were wicked. They weren't seeking him. What'd they do? Egypt, he opened up the world. Israel gets set free from Egypt, and then because they see, after seeing miracles, they turn away. And they got, the Lord opened up the earth and just consumed them. Caused them to live in the wilderness for 40 years. And they actually, the people, that generation, didn't even get to see the promised land. They had to die in the wilderness. And people say, well, that's the Old Testament. Jesus came. Because God really softens himself in the book of Revelation. You know, he's not. I'm reminded in 1 John, again, just speaking to me, 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, I think we even used this scripture last week, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world is going to pass away, and so are the lust in them. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Is his will in you? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can direct your path. He can take away your will and have God's will in your life. So what happens when you give your heart to the Lord? If you've truly given your heart to the Lord, what things? I was praying about this, like, when you give your heart to the Lord, you become vulnerable. It's no longer you, but it's Christ in you. It's not about you. You're directed by the Holy Spirit. He directs your paths. Everything you do is to glorify God in everything you do. I was convicted last night watching a movie. Should have never even watched it. You know, my wife went to bed early. I should have went to bed early. Holy Spirit was like, what are you doing? Just wasting your time. Just because I stand in a pulpit doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm a work in progress too. Sanctification. Got to be reminded of it. So this is all to me too. Speaking to my heart too. What's your mission? Are you solely trusting in him? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Yeah, you're vulnerable. Because you're vulnerable to the world itself, but Christ in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You've given your heart to the Lord. You're now accountable. You need to be open to change. Because here's what's going to happen. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. For the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, and here it is, guys, the intents of the heart. Woo! Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Are you guys just acting as a Christian? Is everything just external, or has there been a change on the inside? What's inside you when you're not alone, when you're not in the company of other believers, when you're not in church today, when you go out into the world, when you go to your job? Who are you? Has the Holy Spirit changed you from the inside out? Are you a peculiar person now? Are you burdened for others? I talked to my sister yesterday on the phone, and just this burden. I have this burden. I'm like, I just got so much I want to say, and I have so much little time to do it because we don't know when our time is up. We talked about it last week. I talked about my dad. Hey, you have 3 to 6 months from the doctor. No, you don't. You have 2 days, a day. It's drawing near, folks. It's a crazy world we live in. Time is drawing near. Are you accountable? Are you open to change? Or are you only open to change until it starts to interfere with your personal life? Then you say, forget it. I've had enough. This is starting to interfere with my plans. Not willing to change. I don't want to give that up. Maybe Jesus should have done that. I got beaten, but I don't think I'll go to the cross, though. I've done enough. It interferes with my plans. No. What did he say in the garden? Not my will, but thy will be done. Giving your heart, you now are a participant. You're involved. You are an active participant in his kingdom. We talked about last week, you are ambassadors. You come in contact with people every day. What are you sharing with them? Are you sharing about you? Or are you sharing about Christ in you? The heart that God's given you. Do you demonstrate his love? Do you walk in faith and belief, trusting in him? Holiness. We are to be holy. Sanctified, spreading his gospel, his direction. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You put on the new man, that new heart. You have a desire for God's ways. You have a desire to be holy. That's where that conviction was last night, like wasting my time watching a stupid movie. Hour and a half of my time, I could have been either resting and getting up early. I could have been spending it in the Word. But I chose to, you know, to please me. Giving your heart to the Lord. Love the Lord. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you really love him? Are you all about him? I love you, Lord. I love you. I feel you. I have this direct connection. If you didn't feel it in worship, I'm sorry. There's a connection there. You desire. I love you. Abba, Father, you are everything to me. That's where you have to get to. He's first and only first. He died for you. Do you have that experience? He died for you. You, individually. It's all about your relationship with him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Do you love just spending time with him? Seeking him? Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Is it all about you? Or is it all about him? talked about the church. There's just this. We talked about, Dad preached about the apostate church, the church. There's so many people that just go through the motions. They do their good deeds. Check. I've gone to church for Sunday. They think they're doing okay. They think they have a heart after God, and they don't. They just have a heart after God for that 1 hour that they put in at church, or because they listened to a song. I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Here's the key, guys. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." It's all external. I never knew you. God, the opening scripture, God looks upon the heart. You can play Christianity. You can play it. But the other scriptures we talked about, all things are made known. The word of God pierces through. It discerns it. You might be able to fool everyone around you, but you are going to give an account one day. All of us are. You are going to stand before the holy God and have to give an account. "I gave you my heart, Lord. I seek you. I trusted you. I lived for you." Life, I saw this demonstration. I was just talking about, it was talking about our life here and just how minuscule it is. Your eternity, I mean, if you think about, if this was just like ongoing, or just take it this way, starting here, and just there was no wall or anything, just completely ongoing, your life here on earth is about this much. How are you going to spend the next few million years of your life? You focus so much on this little bit of time, but you have millions of years to come, eternity, an eternity with the Lord if you give Him your heart, if you seek Him, you do His will. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" It's talking about man's heart. It's talking about man's heart here. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." Are you producing fruit for Him? Or are you producing your own fruit? That's why you need that rebirth. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be reborn. That new heart. We talked about in Ezekiel, it gives you a new heart. And then the whole, then how cool is that? We talked about a miracle in me. The Holy Spirit comes into you. You give your heart to the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes into you. That's a miracle. God puts His Spirit in you. How awesome is that? It's in you. It's in you. Just, can you fathom that? I mean, when you really just embrace that, it's life-changing. Life-changing. David said in Psalms, we sang it, "Create in me a clean, clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Brian, come on up here. I'm going to close here. Do you guys understand the importance I hope people listen to this message online. Share it. Share it. Time is drawing near. So many people, they don't get it. They just listen to it. I hear what you say, but I don't get it. I don't understand this experience. Maybe you just don't have the Spirit of God in you. Maybe you haven't given your heart fully. You just did a little bit. You said something. Is there a desire there? If so, you'll be changed from the inside out. And you'll have a burden for others, loved ones. Your brother, Steve, your brother doesn't know Christ. Your parents do. My wife, my in-laws, I have this burden for them. They don't know Christ. And they just look at me like I was before, and I'm not. I'm different. There's been a change. It started on the inside. God just stirred me up, the Spirit inside me. Let Him stir you. In Hebrews chapter 3, this is in the New Living. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this. Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest, for he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses." You talk about man here. Jesus deserves far more glory than you, than your wills, your desires, your pursuits. He deserves far more glory. "Just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths of God that would reveal later. But Christ, as a son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ, that is why the Holy Spirit says," and here it is, guys. Just close your eyes. "Today, when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. And so I was angry with them, and I said, 'Their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them.' So in my anger, I took an oath that they will never enter my place of rest. Be careful, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today." It's today. Today. "That none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." And it keeps going here. Remember what it says. He warns you again. Today, when you hear His voice, that's the Holy Spirit knocking. "Don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it that rebelled against God even though they heard His voice? Wasn't it the people that Moses led out of Egypt and who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people whose sin, whose corpses lay in the wilderness and to whom God was speaking when He took an oath that they will never enter His rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed Him? And so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. What is the Spirit saying to you? How many can be honest right now and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want life without you, Lord. I want to give you my heart. I want to do everything for you and only you. Be reconciled to him. Give your heart fully to him. Trust in him. We rest in that, Lord. Are you praying right now in your heart? Do you really want to give it to him? You could be so powerful, everybody in this room together, small in numbers but mighty in the Lord, because we've given our heart to him. If you really want to give your heart to him, and if you've already have, just stand in agreement right now. Remember, the Lord said he's a discerner of the heart. He's a discerner of the heart. It's not just the motions. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your message. I pray that it just change people, Lord, the inside out, Lord, that we just start to see a difference, that every breath we take, we know it's from you, Lord, that we acknowledge you in everything, in all of our ways. As we go about this week, Lord, let our light shine to glorify you. If we do something wrong, let the Holy Spirit convict us. Tell us to write the right way, to be holy unto you, Lord. Because you are coming. You are looking for a pure bride. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys are dismissed.